Did he give you the victory? Amen. Are you walking in that victory? You know what? He's faithful, guys. I don't know what you're in or what you're walking through, what you've just gotten through, but you know what? The Word says he's faithful. He's faithful who promised. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We just humble ourselves. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that in the midst of this room, Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we just ask, Lord, that we would glean from what you'd have for us tonight. We know, Heavenly Father, that some have come in struggling and some have come in and they're walking in that victory we just sang about. But Father, I pray, Lord, that every one of us would come in contact tonight with the living God in a way maybe that we've never done before, never seen before, never experienced before. But Father, when we leave this place, we'll know that we've been in your presence. For your word says, Father, that when two come together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so, Father, we just say welcome. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just make yourself comfortable here so that we would become uncomfortable to change this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. And it's always a privilege to be able to share the message on an evening service. And I want you to do me a favor. In your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 1. Those are going to be our first scriptures that we're going to visit tonight. And I'm going to endeavor to do my very, very best because, you know, the word says this. It says to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. And I don't know if I'm going to let the cat out of the bag for any of you, but I'm in deep mourning this afternoon. I found out 20 minutes before I came to preach that my Green Bay Packers are not going to the Super Bowl. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't know where that came from. Cast that out. Yeah, come right up here, the pink line. We've got ushers that will help you with that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You realize that's just a game. You know what? I'd so much rather be here with you than watching that football game, especially tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, when I was pastoring my church in Tennessee, one of the things that I always endeavored to do is in January, I kind of tried to do my very best to set the year. When I ministered, a lot of that came from my training in sales and my background in the sales industry. And, you know, when I was in the insurance industry and in the sales industry, I think I've shared this with you before. One of the things that we learned was the fact that so goes January, so goes the year. And so our endeavor, anybody that's ever been in sales before, you kind of look at January and you kind of establish yourself and say, okay, how am I going to set my year and how successful I am in January is going to set my tone for the rest of the year. So really in sales, all of our big contests were in January. You had opportunities to win trips in January and free things in January. As a matter of fact, Dana and I still have a clock that's on the side of our bed, on her side of the bed table, was one of those Friday wins. I want a clock. And we still have that. It's 20 years old. It still works. Glory to God. When the power goes out, we got to turn it back on. It didn't have one of them auto reset type deals like all the new ones got. But you know, in January, it's also an interesting time of year. There's a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, aren't going to be foundational scriptures, but this is where I want to set my stage so that we're all on the same page. You know, in January, we have to understand that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, it says this. It's so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Can I get an amen? There's things that we've learned that if we're not careful, there will be truths that we will have applied to our life that we've let go. Flip with me, if you will, over to Colossians chapter 1. Another similar passage of scripture that's along these same lines. And if you study your Bible, there are several passages within the Bible that have very similar thoughts and very similar meanings behind them. If you go to chapter 1, verse number 22, I'm going to start reading there. It says, yet now he has brought you back as his friends. Actually, I'm going to read out of this one here, the New Living Translation. It says this,
Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you to his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. Say, don't drift away. From the assurance you have received when you have heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Like I shared with you just a moment ago, as a former salesman, one of the things that we did is we looked at our January and we wanted to make sure that everything that we did set the stage for our new year. We wanted to make sure that any habits that we set into our life in the previous year got broken or altered or changed so that the new year, we would start out the new year with good habits, good practices, and good actions. You know, in years past, I don't know if you're the type of person that writes out your annual goals, but there have been years that I've sat down and I've actually written out my goals. This year I'm going to do X amount in sales, or this year my wife and I are going to do this, or this year we're going to do that. And so the Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write the vision and make it plain, right? We're not just talking about businesses, we're talking about our own lives, right? You know, we can't be successful in business if we're not successful in life first, right? Can I get an amen? So sometimes I would take the time and I'd actually write out the goals and I'd check them off as they would go. Other years, honestly, I would make a mental note of, okay, this is a goal that I want to attain. This is something that I want to achieve. This is something that I'm going to reach for. And then as I did that, those things would get marked off in my mind. I'd mark through that and say, good deal, we got that one accomplished. Traditionally at this time of year, there are several passages of scripture that people want to talk about. And you can go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19, and it says this. That's the passage where it says, hey, he's going to do a new thing and now it shall spring forth. How many of you have ever heard that message preached? Anybody's ever heard that one preached? Or how about this one? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ, right? How many of you have ever heard that one preached at a new year, around the new year, January time of the year? How many of you have ever heard the passage out of Psalms where it says in Psalms 98, verse 1, I'm going to sing unto the Lord a new song? And that could be a good January time. And as I was just kind of going over these things and contemplating, you know, I'm sitting in my lazy boy on New Year's Eve, and I'm just kind of reflecting. You know, over the last couple of years, I just kind of went back over the last couple of years of messages and thoughts that and challenges that God has put into my life. And in January of 2013, God dealt with me on the subject of stewardship. I even ministered. I went back and checked my notes and I went back and I looked and I even ministered in the month of January in 2013, one of the services that I had the opportunity to preach here. I ministered on the subject of stewardship because I always look at January as one of those stewardship months, don't you? Okay, how am I going to do in my tithing this year? How am I going to do in my time this year? How am I going to do in my talents this year? Talents, that's called serving, guys. You know, did you serve in 2014? If you didn't serve in 2014, now guess what? January's not over. I realize it's the 18th, but we're not over yet. We'll get you plugged in. We're going to do our very best to get you plugged in. Because we January's a time that we evaluate our time, our talents, and very much our treasure. Well, in 2014, the Lord had me kind of go a different direction. I was sitting in my lazy boy. My family was out of town. I didn't get a chance to be with them on that trip. And I'm sitting in my lazy boy and I'm saying, okay, God, what does 2014 hold for Bob Keek? And as I'm sitting in the chair, the Lord said, read the book of Matthew. I said, okay, I read the book of Matthew. I'm just sitting there, finished the book of Matthew, sitting in the chair. And he says, okay, read the book of Ephesians. I said, yes, sir, I'll read the book of Ephesians. So I read the book of Ephesians. Then he said, okay, read the book of James. So I said, oh, yes, sir, I'll read the book of James. So I sat all day reading my Bible in my lazy boy. And that's not a bad thing on New Year's Day. It's really not a bad deal. You can't lose, right, doing that. But in the process of sitting there in that lazy boy for those hours that I read my Bible, God dealt with me about some questions in my life. And some of those questions I ministered to you last January about. And those were this: do my actions reveal my beliefs? And I really had to evaluate my life. Do my actions, am I really doing what I believe? The second question that I had to ask myself, am I loving people? I don't want to see a show of hands, but got to ask yourself that question. Am I loving people the way God loves people? Another question I ask myself is, does what I say produce life? You know, oftentimes I realize that sometimes my words aren't the producers of life. So I'm still working on that one. How about, am I really humble? Have I really humbled myself before God? Have I really humbled my, you know, and as you ask that question, God all of a sudden begins to reveal in a unique and special way there's areas of pride. We don't want to admit that, but we have to admit that at some point. That there are areas of pride in our own life that we're not willing to deal with, we're not willing to give to God. And then the last question that God dealt with me as I was going through that day is this, am I consumed with the right things? Our lives are full of a lot of things, aren't they, guys? We got a lot of stuff going on. But are we consumed with the right things? And so that was my 2014, and I'm going to just be transparent with you. I think it's critically important that leadership is transparent. In fact, there's a passage of scripture I was finding as I was looking up the word transparency, and I was just trying to do some evaluation. The word transparency, I found a translation, and I've heard of it, and I've just started kind of glimpsing at it. It's called The Voice. I don't know much about it, but it's a new translation that's kind of come to the forefront. But there's a passage of scripture that I thought was quite interesting. Paul said this about transparency. He says, and here is why. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says this, and here is why. What you experienced in the good news we brought to you was much more than words channeling down our ears. It came to you as life-empowering, spirit-infused message that offers complete hope and assurance. We live transparently before you so that you would know the sort of people that truly are. We did it for your sake. And so I realized that in this transparency, I'm really dealing with some things in my own life. How many of you realize that of those five questions that I asked myself in the beginning of 2014, have I accomplished all of them and have I done them all perfectly? The answer to that would be unequivocally, no. Have I done better? I think so. And that's been my challenge, is I'm endeavoring every day, pressing toward the mark of the high prize of Jesus Christ. I'm doing everything I can to let God transform me into the image and likeness of his dear son. Amen. I don't want to be the same man I was yesterday. So I believe that as I entered 2015, my life was quite different than as I entered in 2014. I'm a different Bob. Are you a different person? You know, as you realize this, sometimes we come into a new year and we start evaluating some of those things like, okay, I had this win, I had that loss. Guys, I'm just going to be transparent and honest with you guys. I know some of you in this room, 2014 would have been one of those years that you just as soon chalk up and chuck it and say, that was a year I'm not interested in ever remembering ever again. Does that make sense? Some of you would just as soon say, you know what, God, if that one was taken off the map, hey, you know what, I wouldn't miss it for a minute. Some of you had a great year, but you know what? It's gone now. We're in a new place. We're in a new time. We're in 2015. We're halfway through the first month of 2015. And so as I'm sitting in my lazy boy chair, considering not letting things slip, not considering not letting things drift away, I'm sitting in the chair and I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm just saying, God, what is going to happen now? I mean, my wife and I are at home. The kids are gone. We're just kind of home, just watching the, you know, waiting for the ball to drop. And I'm just pondering. And I began to just pray, and I said, "Okay, God, show me something." And as I was sitting there in that chair, there was a passage of scripture that came to my mind, and it was back in the book of Leviticus. Now, how many of you ever wonder about going back to the book of Leviticus for anything would have anything to do with life? You know, I have the privilege that Dean Tad has given to me to teach at Rhema Bible Training College the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Thank you, sir. I did a fun study one time. Leviticus is the number one most hated book of the Bible. And I do my best to make people enjoy it. But there was a passage in the book of Leviticus that just kind of all of a sudden just started rolling in my head. And not many people ponder the book of Leviticus for anything. So here I was, sitting in my chair. But you know what? As you look at your life and as you look at the goals and you look at what 2015 holds before you, this is the passage that God dealt with Bob about. This is the passage that God dealt with Bob about, and I'm just going to read a small snippet, and then we're going to go read the whole thing. But it says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, in verse number 10. Leviticus 26, verse 10, and I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And it says, "You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest." I thought, wow, that's a cool one. God, I can hook up with that one. How many of you like the ones that God gives you that just give you increase? Amen? But as I was sitting there thinking about that scripture, there's another passage, and if I read it out of the Good News Translation, this is another translation that I just, when I find a scripture, I start tearing it apart a little bit, and it says this. It says, "Your harvests will be so plentiful that they will last for a year. And even when you have, even then you will have to throw away what is left of the old harvest to make room for the new." And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Okay, God, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. You're asking me to consider my life. If we read this entire passage of scripture, and we're going to go there in just a minute, but I want to challenge you with a question. How many of you realize that not everything in life gets wrapped up in a tidy little bow and presented in all reality? How many of you know that life sometimes can be messy? You know, we just get done with Christmas and everything is wrapped beautifully until about 30 seconds after the kids wake up. Then it's a shroon mess all around the house. Life isn't wrapped up in wonderful little packages and neatly taped and folded edges and bows perfectly wrapped. In many cases, life challenges us, doesn't it? Say, life has challenges. Because life has these challenges, we have to understand in reality that in many cases, mistakes can be made. Repentance may be necessary, and forgiveness and grace is needed many times in our lives. Sometimes life presents messy circumstances as jewels for growth. And as I started contemplating this passage of Scripture and looking at this passage of Scripture, on New Year's Eve, I ran across this, and I posted it on my Instagram with a picture of the ball being dropped, and I wrote 2015, and I prayed this as a prayer for everybody that was a friend of mine on Instagram or Facebook. But within this passage of Scripture, I want to read it to you in its context. Verse number one, it says this. It says, "Do not make idols or set up carved images, sacred pillars or special stones, or shaped stones to be worshipped in your land. I, the Lord, am your God, and you must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you keep my laws and are careful to obey the commands, I will send the seasonal rains, and the land will then yield its crops. And the trees will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will extend until the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will extend until it's time to plant grain again. You will eat your fill." Say, eat your fill. Hallelujah. "You will eat your fill and live securely in your land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep without fear. I will remove the wild animals from your land and protect you from your enemies. In fact, you will chase down all your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All of your enemies will fall beneath the blows of your weapons. I will look favorably upon you and multiply your people and fulfill your covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for each new harvest. I will live among you and I will not despise you. Well, I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you from the land of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves. I have lifted the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk free," say free, "with your heads held high." Now it's interesting. The interesting passage, when we look at that passage, we have to really consider some things. You know, if I were to title this message, I would title this message something very simple like this: sometimes lessons learned have to be relearned. Amen? You know, I start going through that passage and I start looking at some things and I'm seeing an incredible abundance. I'm seeing an incredible supply. I'm seeing incredible blessing. I'm seeing incredible things that are promised to us in his word. Now, this is ultimately written to the children of Israel, but how many of you know, in context and understanding both the new and light of the old and light of the new and all of the blessings God promises, how many of you know we can jump on board with this passage and attach it to our lives? Amen? How many of you know that it's God's desire that our enemies run from us? Amen? How many of you know it's God's desire that we have plenty and abundance? How many of you know that it's God's desire that we walk in peace without fear? How many of you know that everything that we have need of is available to us? Amen? That's what this passage is saying. But it's interesting, when you look at this passage of Scripture, verse number 14 is the shifter. And what I mean by that is it's where the passage shifts and all of a sudden it changes and begins to talk about if you're not obedient, there's a lot of things that are going to happen to you. Talks about removing his spirit. He talks about all these things that are going to happen. And I want to read, you know, many times as a minister, you want to read those not to place fear in people, but to let people see the balance. But because of the nature of time, you don't get to read an entire chapter of the book. That's left for another day. But I want you to understand that this passage says if we will be obedient to the things that God has set before us, we will eat the good of the land. Amen? You know, many times we don't talk about obedience as much as we probably should, because obedience is the catalyst and the key to every blessing that comes into your life. We have to be obedient to what the word has to say. There is incredible blessing in obedience. Isaiah 1:19 says this, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is the question that God began to challenge with me sitting in that lazy boy. In 2014, what were the areas of my life did I let slip and maybe need to learn or relearn again or reapply so that abundance can walk in my life? What are the areas, you know, when I look at this and I see, and I'm talking about manifesting not only in my life, but in the life of my family. Do you realize that me as the leader of my house, if my family's not doing well, maybe there's something going on at home. What about my job? What about my relationships with others? What are the areas of abundance? Where is the areas of peace and no fear going to be in my life if I'm walking in that obedience that God has for me? Sometimes lessons learned have to be relearned. You know, I was thinking about it as we were getting ready to get started, as I was getting ready for this message. As I sat down over the course of the next several days, I started writing some things down. And I'm going to just see how many of these things I can get through tonight and do my very best to just try to give you a little bit of insight into what Bob was walking through. I don't know you. But hopefully through maybe my transparency of who Bob is, maybe it might ring true and hit home for you guys. You know, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking as a kid, how many of you learned some things from your parents when you were kids? They would say some things and you learn later that it wasn't necessarily true, but you know, these are some funny things, and I'm gonna ask in a moment, I'm gonna ask my media department to put a minute on the clock, because I'm gonna have you meet somebody around you and I'm gonna have you ask them this same question. But these are just some thoughts. How many of you have ever remember as a kid, if you pick your nose, your finger might get stuck? Is that a lesson that we learned as kids? Somebody, I was reading on the internet, you know, if you stick your finger in your nose, your head might fall off. I mean, that was one that I heard. I don't know that's true. That's not true. Right? What about some thoughts like this? You cross your eyes and they'll get what? They'll get stuck that way. But I want us to, because I want our culture, I want us to be a culture of friendliness and a culture of relationships in our church. I want to do something. I want to put a minute on the clock. I want you to stand up. And I want you to turn around and I want you to find somebody right near you and I want you to ask somebody, what were some things that you learned as a kid that was beneficial for life? All right, guys, do you have the clock for me? I want you to go ahead and put that up for me. And we're going to go ahead and do that. Go ahead and meet somebody right now. What did you learn as a kid that has benefited you today?
All right. I want you to go ahead and have a seat. How many of you learned something? I see several of you laughing. I don't know if it had anything to do with what we were talking about. Maybe you were just saying hi and you hadn't seen somebody in 6 months. That's cool. I'm fine with that. But how many of you would be willing to share one of the things that you learned? Well, come on up here. Come on up. I'll just come by you. Just stand up. What's one you learned?
One of the things that you... Whoops.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. I shocked her. Did anybody see the shock? It's the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I learned is that when you ride a horse, make sure you face forward.
When you ride a horse, make sure you face forward. Anybody else want to give me one? Anybody else want to give me one? What do you got, Mike?
If you eat turkey, that the comb, you would get a comb on your head like a turkey.
If you eat turkey, you'll get a... What is that thing called? A comb?
I think a comb.
A comb? So what do you got? What do you got, Herb?
Don't swallow gum, it'll stick to your ribs.
Don't swallow gum, it'll stick to your ribs. Anybody else? I'm coming this way. Come on, anybody want to be on? Just come on. Mike, what do you got? Come on, I saw you raise your hand.
Don't stick your finger in a light socket.
Don't stick your finger in a light socket. There you go. Anybody else have one? Anybody got one over here? Just we're only going to do this for a second more. Come on. Diego, you got anything from the South?
Yeah.
Give us one.
If you eat a seed, a watermelon plant's going to grow.
There you go. If you eat a seed, you'll get a watermelon grow in your belly. That's true. There you go. You know, so maybe we have some lessons that we learned. We don't necessarily need to relearn again. Amen. I don't know that we necessarily need to relearn some of those things. You know, don't touch a hot stove, you know, those kinds of things. But, you know, as I was sitting in my chair, and over the next couple of days, I was thinking of some things that I needed to really learn about Bob from 2014. You know, and here's some random thoughts, and I'm going to go back to this in just a moment. But I wrote some of these things down, several things that the Lord dealt with me throughout this past year. And that are these: patience is still something I'm working on, and that humility gets better results. I still got to work on that patience thing. I'm still dealing with learning how to walk in patience. I'm still having to understand that humility is something that will move me forward. It will propel me forward rather than the counterpart of humility, which is pride. The Bible says that pride causes me to fall, where the humble will be exalted. You know, I wrote this one down. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still accomplish great things. In fact, last year in May, I finished my bachelor's degree. You know, so I looked back on that and I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good success. I don't mind that. That's a pretty good one. I wrote this down. Finishing is just as important as starting. You know, I looked back on my 2014 and I started bike racing. And I realized, you know what, starting is one thing, and you can start out and be ahead of the crowd, but quickly, you can be at the back of the pack, but you got to finish. You got to finish. You got to do the best you can to finish. And the last thing I was just going to share, and I'm going to share some little bit more in-depth ones here, but these are just random. Disappointment can lead to discouragement if you don't deal with it. You know, these are just real things that Bob dealt with in 2014. Disappointment can lead to discouragement if you don't deal with it. But you know what? As I was reading this passage of Scripture again, let me read verse number 10 to you again. It says, "You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest." What are some things that Bob has to deal with so that I make room for the leftovers? What are the things that Bob needs to take care of so that I have more than enough? See, most of the time what we do is we spend our trying just to get enough, amen? But what the Bible says is there's supposed to be leftovers. There's supposed to be more than enough, amen? And so I just wanted to share just a couple of these thoughts with you tonight as we get started. And I'm not going to get them all finished tonight, but we'll get started here and we'll see what happens. But these leftovers are up to us to determine. The first thing I wanted to share with you is this. In all transparency, sometimes I'm not as sure as I thought I was. Sometimes I'm not as sure as I thought I was. I had a little girl that went off to college this year, and it affected my life in a way that I thought I was totally prepared for.
You know, maybe you missed out on a business deal, or maybe you missed out on a job opportunity, or maybe you had a relationship that went south. You know, the reality is this, guys, is that sometimes we might not be as sure as we think we are. But John chapter 16, verse number 12, it even gives us a revelation that Jesus understood this principle and understood this thought. He says this. In John chapter 16, verse number 12, he says, I have many things to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. When I got a glimpse of this passage of scripture, the Lord just began to reveal to me, say, Bob, you know what? You might just not be ready in that area yet. And so what is the responsibility of Bob Keek at that point? Is to make myself ready, isn't it? So if I didn't accomplish some things in 2014, I had to come to the realization that maybe Bob wasn't ready to accomplish those things yet. Maybe Bob hadn't grown far enough. Maybe Bob hadn't matured enough. Maybe Bob hadn't gotten enough word in him. Maybe Bob hadn't connected with the right people yet. There was many things that God has for you and me, guys, that for whatever reason we're not ready for, or we're not seeing it manifest, or we're not experiencing it. You know, my daughter going off to college, I thought I was ready for that, but I wasn't ready for that. I thought I'd prepared myself, but I hadn't fully prepared myself well enough. My daughter went off to college, and it's been an incredible experience for us as a family and for her. But I'm telling you right now, guys, there are things that God has in store for you that you haven't even seen yet. You haven't even heard yet. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, eye has not seen nor ear heard all that God has in store for you. Good night, guys. If that's the case, I want to step into that realm of leftovers. I don't know about you, but I like leftovers. Especially if it's Italian, it just kind of marinates itself just a little bit longer. It just tastes better. Mexican food's another one. You put the meat, you know, the seasoning in the meat, and you let it sit for a little bit. Oh, it just gets better and better the longer it sits there. But what I'm talking about, guys, is even though we may have uncertainty in life, if we will remain obedient and faithful to the Word of God, we will experience His faithfulness. That's a promise, church. That's a promise. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is what? Faithful, that promised. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, it says this, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. In other words, a payday is coming, folks. But there has to be this confidence. And sometimes we may not feel like we're confident or we're prepared or we're ready enough. Another thing that I realized in my own life in 2014 is this, is that we don't have to let or succumb to our setbacks. How many of you had a setback in 2014? You know, it may have been, you got a flat tire, it may have been, again, it could have been something far more catastrophic. You might have been let go from your job. Your job might have been downsized. You might have moved halfway across the country and experienced some setbacks financially. Again, you might have been dealing with some issues relationally. I don't know what you're going through, but we don't have to succumb to the setback. This year, I experienced a big financial setback. In July, my water under my house, I had a pipe under my house burst. For 3 weeks, my house didn't have water. How many of you realize that that turns into a financial burden? That turns into a relational burden? Amen, money? She'd look at me and she goes, you go out and turn on the water. I don't want to get up out of bed to go turn on the water. See, we had to turn on the water manually out at the street. And every time we turned on the water, we had about 25 minutes for all of us to go through the showers, and then we would suck about 35 gallons of water out of our air ducts. And I'd have to go back and turn it off. So, you know what? That doesn't have to be my demise, though. It's water. It's a broken pipe. Guys, now that might be insignificant to whatever you dealt with, but you know what? Guys, some of you may have gone through something that was just far more catastrophic. You had a loved one die this year. Somebody in this room, you lost your job, you lost your spouse, you lost your best friend. You were betrayed. But that setback doesn't have to be the defining factor in going into your new year. Guys, we're talking about leftovers right now. We're talking about stepping into the realm of those leftovers. And I want to encourage you guys, even though we might be persecuted, we are not forsaken. Even though we might be cast down, the word says we are not destroyed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, it says this. It says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Bible also says that he has made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. How many of you know that our setback doesn't have to be something we succumb to? It doesn't have to be our final endeavor. Another thought that I had this year as I was sitting in my lazy boy and I was just kind of contemplating 2015 and really reflecting on what God was going to have for me this year. And that is this. Praise may not change the immediate situation, but it changes me. Praise may not change. I may not. You realize that Paul and Silas were in the prison, weren't they? There was no promise of those guys getting set free. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, it's crazy to think for any minute of the moment, unless they got some kind of little whisper, but I think they would have recorded that. But there was no indication that they were going to be set free. But in the middle of their moment, in the middle of their time, we find that they made a decision to praise God. Their situation, there's a situation that you might be in. There's a circumstance that you might be foreseeing. There might be something that you're dealing with. But I want you to understand something. Praise may not change the situation immediately, but it changes you. It changes your outlook. It changes your attitude. It changes your person. It changes everything about you because it's not about the situation anyway. It's all about the relationship that you have with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in him we move and have our being. I don't move and have my being in me. Every time I'm in me, I make mistakes. Every time I'm in me, I fall short. Every time I'm in me, the Bible says that if I walk according to the Spirit, there's life and there's peace. But when I walk according to in me, the Bible says there's death. Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 14 and on down, it says, you know what? If I choose to be in me, I'm not going to be able to see and experience the leftovers that are talked about there. I have to be in him. I have to be in my relationship with him. And guys, sometimes we forget that. And I realized sitting in that lazy boy, there were many days last year that I was in Bob and I was not in him. And I am so repentant of that. I had to say, God, forgive me. The Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. I don't have a right to live the way I want to live. I don't have a right to have the attitudes that I have. I don't have a right to have the opinions that I have. I have a right to live by the way that he wants me to live, guys. Oh my goodness, that's hard sometimes. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Sitting in that lazy boy, God said to me several times, Bob, look back over that situation. Look over that situation. Did you let praise or did you let your person come forth? And boy, when you get a comment or a statement like that made by your heavenly Father, you have to really challenge yourself, don't you? Praise may not change the situation, but it changes me. Have you ever had just one of those days, maybe one of those weeks or one of those months? Discouragement and disappointment can be overwhelming. The report of the doctor or the employer, our kids may not respond what we like. Maybe the marriage has suffered, but I know that I know that I know. In 2015, Bob made a decision to praise rather than report what was going on. Because I'm telling you, that praise will go far further than anything that I would have to say. Amen? We've just got a few more minutes and I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. I'm not going to get through all of this tonight, and that's okay. We'll save it for another day. Amen. Everybody good? Yes. Amen. Number four, trusting God isn't an achievement. It's a daily process.
Boy, when I'm sitting in that lazy boy on that day, on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I'm thinking to myself, God, do I trust you all the time? Or do I just trust you for moments? And I had to stop and really be transparent with myself and understand that, you know what? Sometimes I trust him for things. I trust him for moments. I trust him for particular breakthroughs. But I don't live in that perpetual state of trust. And now some of you may have already accomplished that. And you may have already nailed that one or nipped that one in the bud. But I'm still working on that one. I'm still challenged in my life from time to time. Every day we have to learn to place our faith and trust in God. Whether we read about the children of Israel in the wilderness being admonished in obedience has its benefits. Why do we only trust him, guys, in the big things? We only address him with the big things. The little ones we kind of take care of ourselves, don't we? God, I'll deal with that one. We don't even go to the Lord in prayer on some things, guys. Do we trust him beyond the financial need or the healing in our body? The Bible says in the book of Psalms 37 and verse 5, and I want to read it out of the English Standard Version. It says this. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. I love that version. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And the Bible says, he will act. Hallelujah. Need healing in your body? He will act. Need financial breakthrough? He will act. Amen. Need an answer to a concern or a question? He will act. Period. Our God is interested in acting on your behalf. He's interested in blessing you. The Bible says in Leviticus, if we're reading the Old Covenant and all of its deals and all the things that were going on in the Old, and those were available to them, and we live, and the Bible says, according to better promises and a better covenant, if he was willing to do the good then, how much more is he willing to do the good now? Amen? Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and say it with me. He will act. Amen. When we look at that passage in chapter 26, the passage reveals that by placing our trust in God, he will meet our needs for every situation of life. He'll meet our financial needs. He'll meet our food needs. He'll meet our relational needs. He'll be present with us. The Bible says in that passage, he says, and I'll even be with you. Hallelujah. How many of you know it's so glad we don't have to worry about watching and following him in a cloud because he dwells right here. Amen. The greater one dwells on the inside of you. It should totally transform the way you look at life and the way you consider things. Amen. He lives here. He's taken up residence in you. That's one of those mind blowers. In all of my imperfection, the perfect of creation decided to take up residence in Bob Keek. Sometimes people would laugh at that. But he did. He took up residence in you too if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Aren't you glad that he'll act on your behalf? Amen. You know, I've got several more things here that I could share with you, but I'm not gonna go into them. But when we talk about this acting, do you realize that in Hebrews chapter 11, Joseph even made the statement, he knew that God would act. He said, you know what, I'm going to die, but he said, I'm going to make provision for my bones. Jesus, when he was talking in Mark chapter 5 to the synagogue, and he said this to the man Jairus, he said this, he said, you know what? He said, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, what he was saying is, he's saying, Jairus, I'm going to act. Trust me, believe me, I'm going to do it. And I want to encourage you guys tonight. As we get ready to go, I want to challenge you with just a couple of questions. Just a real simple questions. This week, be honest with yourself and ask yourself some questions. Number one, where have I placed my confidence? Where have I placed my confidence? And have I allowed setbacks to keep me from taking the next step that God is directing for me? Or how about this question? Is what I'm saying perpetually my position or producing praise? Is what I'm saying perpetuating where I'm at, or is it changing the circumstances because of the praise that comes out of my mouth? Have I made trust a lifestyle? Or is it just something that I say that I do? That last passage, that scripture that the Lord gave me on that night, I believe is not just for me. Let me read it and we'll close. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest. God desires for you guys to have an incredible year. 2015 is going to be a good one. There's a harvest available. There's a harvest that's big. It's so big that it even produces leftovers. And I want you guys to experience that this year. I don't know what you're going through. Everybody stand to your feet. We're going to get ready to close. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just close our eyes and let's just talk to the Lord for a minute. Let's just say, Father, we just come to you tonight. We just thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what 2014 was. But we're far more grateful for what 2015 is going to be. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this room. And maybe some of the things that I walk through in my life are things that they walk through in their own. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that this message resonated with them very simply. Father, there's questions that they're going to need to ask themselves. And this year, is there confidence in you or is it in themselves? Are they living a lifestyle of trust? Is praise being perpetuated out of their mouth, or is their problems the thing that seems to be being set forth? Father, if there's an individual in this room that maybe just says, you know what, God, I'm just interested in having a better year. I just pray right now, Father God, that you just meet them right now where they are. And Father, as we get ready to dismiss this service, I pray, Father, that your blessings would overtake this congregation, that they too would experience what the children of Israel were promised, and that was the leftovers, that we actually have to make room because we're overtaken by the harvest that's getting ready to come. Father, right now I pray a blessing over them as they go. I pray that they would understand that they're the head and not the tail. I pray that they would understand, Father, that they can walk in divine health and healing. I pray, Father God, right now that this week would be a week that what they put their hand to, Father, would prosper in Jesus' name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would have favor before God, before you and before man. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them before great people. Allow them, Heavenly Father, in their testimony to be real and be something, Heavenly Father, that can transform lives. Father, let these people in this room be the walking and living epistle that you've called them to be. And Father, I believe this week that souls are going to be saved and people are going to be set free because of the very people in this room, believing, God, that you have chosen them to walk in the leftovers and walk in the blessing of the benefits that you have for them in this word. Father, I thank you so much for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and invite my prayer team to go ahead and come forward. Tonight, I want to go ahead and dismiss all of my first-time guests. But before you go, I want to make sure that if anybody in this room has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, there is a prayer team that is coming forth right now. And they want to pray with you. They want to lead you into this relationship that is so amazing that it will forever change your life. If maybe you're dealing with an opportunity, maybe for rededication in your life, maybe you've walked away from the things of God, come back to these individuals right now, men to the men, women to the women, and just let them pray with you and encourage you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you're just praying for that job. Maybe you're just saying, you know what, Pastor Bob, I want to experience that harvest, and I think there's some things I need to get right. These guys up here will pray with you and come in agreement that you'll have the best 2015 you could possibly have. I want to go ahead and invite all of my guests and visitors, connection team, go ahead and find them real quickly and get them that special gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Rhema Bible Church. We want to thank you visitors for being with us. Come back and visit us again. Pastor will be with you next Sunday. Don't miss out. And I think, remember all of the announcements, and we look forward to seeing you for Hour of Power on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Hey, turn around, shake a hand, hug a neck, find somebody that you don't know. Make sure that they know that they're important. God bless you. Have a great week.